Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern Medicine's Kishwaukee Hospital, Dr. Silver, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Dean.
What would you advise, what would you have advised all the athletes out on Columbus Drive doing this 8K run this morning prior to the run? What would you have told them to do?
I would have said hydrate well and make sure you do a lot of stretching because it's chilly out there.
Yeah. Same thing we do before we start the show here every day, every Sunday.
I hear that.
Yeah, we hydrate well, and we check our hamstrings for completely different reasons. wanted to start off with something pretty serious that was announced on the news, broke, you know, news all over the world, really, when the news came out that Kate, Princess of Wales, had been diagnosed with cancer. That was why, you know, she has been keeping a very low profile, had abdominal surgery. Apparently, after the surgery, they discovered that there was cancer, and now they're going to do some preventative chemotherapy as a result of this. What can you tell us about this? Is that uncommon to go in for a surgery, any kind of surgery, and then to have cancer found after the fact? Apparently, they didn't go in looking for cancer, but that's what they found once the abdominal surgery took place, for whatever reason that was.
Yeah, Dean, it's unusual but not unheard of that the rate that I've seen quoted is around 4%, meaning 4% of surgeries that they'll find something like a cancer. And, you know, typically what happens is if they're taking out your appendix, they'll take a little piece and send it to the pathologist and say, hey, put this under the microscope and see if anything looks suspicious. And most of the time, as I mentioned, 96% of the time, they don't see anything. But every once in a while, they will catch an early cancer.
So, you know, we don't really know any of the particulars of Princess Kate's surgery, the diagnosis, and honestly, it's none of our business, really. It's been a little bit of a pet peeve of mine how some reporters have been relentlessly chasing, trying to stick their nose in some place where it didn't belong, none of their business, about the personal health of this woman, even though she is in the royal family, etc. But you know, just in terms of how something like this can impact any of us, what are things that we should look for to, you know, make sure we're not walking around with something like that?
Well, this is the great trick that we're all trying to uncover as a medical community. But I think symptoms that don't go away, that in general are things that maybe would be concerning. So pain that doesn't go away, or fatigue that doesn't go away, just nausea, inability to tolerate a normal appetite, headaches that don't go away. Really, the common theme is a problem that's not like a day or a 2-day problem, but maybe a 2-week or a 2-month problem. Typically, you'd want to go get checked out and talk to your doctor.
And then are there specific tests? You know, I've heard of cancer scans that people go through that kind of check the person from head to toe, as I understand it. But or is it just specific testing of different parts of the body, so you can check and make sure that, you know, you're okay?
Well, I think every doctor would start with a history and physical exam, and you talk to the person about their family and have there been any cancers in the family that might fall along genetic lines, or alternatively, is the individual just presenting with a series of concerns that kind of strung together would form a picture in the physician's mind of a particular illness. And then, of course, what's happening on physical exam? Are there any lumps or bumps that are concerning, or other findings that might point down one road or another? So there's definitely a variety of tests that are then available, whether it's there are scans like CAT scans and MRIs. There's also blood tests that are available to screen for some of these cancers. So we're definitely coming into an era of more and more less invasive tests, And so, you know, would definitely encourage having that conversation with your primary care doctor.
Now, what it really intrigued me in this whole story, Catherine put out a video explaining what she had gone through and how the family was dealing with it. You know, there's been all kinds of speculation, but what jumped out at me was the term preventative chemotherapy. Chemotherapy to me had always been something that you went to once the cancer was found, not something that you took to prevent cancer. Explain this a little more to me. What is preventative chemotherapy?
Sure. It's a little bit of a misnomer. It's not truly preventative, but I'll get into that. So I think most people or most physicians would agree that what she's referring to is adjuvant chemo. And that's the term we use for chemotherapy that is utilized after surgery. So just stepping back into what you had kind of described in the beginning here, they did a surgery. They found some tissue that looked concerning under a microscope. They've identified it as a cancer. And the oncologist has said, you know, let's go ahead and give some chemo over time so that if there are any leftover cells that we can't see with the naked eye, or that were distributed at the time of the surgery and we're just unaware of, let's go after those rogue cells and just make sure there's no lingering chance of the cancer then regrowing or returning. And I think that that's probably what she means and they mean by preventative chemo.
I would imagine that it's a mild dose when they would use it in that way, or do they go, you know, with full chemotherapy treatment, which can be invasive and very difficult for some people, most people?
Well, it can be a lower dose, that's for sure, although it depends on the stage of the cancer, whether it's spread to any lymph nodes or other local organs, or the type of cancer, if it's a particularly aggressive cell type. And then, of course, when you have a young person, and of course the royalty component plays into this, I'm sure, you may want to be a bit more aggressive. And so that's going to dictate the terms to the oncologist in terms of how much chemo and what type of chemo and how long for the chemo.
Yeah, Princess Catherine, Kate, as they call her, her age is, I want to say, 42 years old. That seems young for something like this, or can it happen at any age?
No, it's definitely young, but I think, you know, that also potentially points to a better prognosis, not necessarily. But younger people tend to do better with disease in general. They have healthy immune systems that respond well, but they would tend to tolerate the side effects of the chemotherapy potentially better than an older person. So her youth may work to her advantage ultimately.
Well, I'm all for letting her go through her treatment, doing what she has to do, and leaving her alone. The British tabloid press especially is insidious, you know, and just let them have this private moment and this very difficult moment in their life. I mean, King Charles also is, you know, going through treatment. He may be done with his treatment for prostate cancer now, but, you know, the family's going through a few things. I know they're the British royal family and everyone thinks they're a target for everything, but how about letting them go through something like this you know, in private? They have enough stress on their plate, right? I mean, that adds to the equation.
Well, I just think about the young kids, right? They've got a couple of young kids who are, you know, growing up in this fishbowl type atmosphere. Just let them be with their mom and sort this out. It's never easy for a family to go through cancer, let alone kids who don't have a full understanding of the world. Not that any of us truly does, but let them be. I agree.
Yeah. Let me take a break. We've had lots of texts and questions with the nicer, milder weather that we've had, although we're not exactly enjoying that right now. But people's allergies have been going wild, and I wonder if you could give us a few bits of information on that when we come right back. I'm Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN with Dr. Jeremy Silver, The Week in Health. Well, when we had that fantastic weather when it was in the 60s, and I think it even tipped into the 70s, everyone was happy about that, but complaining that their allergies were flaring up. Doesn't look like we're going to get much past 50 degrees for the next week or so. But Dr. Silver, what you must have seen a result of that also with your patients as well. What can people do about that?
Well, you know, some of this is just a consequence of the environment we live in. Every February or so, the plants start to pollinate the trees, and then the grass follows in the spring, and all the pollen and certainly some of the actual plants themselves that release their own pollen cause a lot of people to have allergies, and it's frustrating and sometimes can make people pretty sick. But there are things that you can do, and I think number one is just developing an awareness. So if you think you might have allergies, and that can be anything from runny nose to sneezing to sniffling to difficulty breathing when you're being outside, go get checked out. And not only are there certain environmental steps you can take, but there's medicine, plenty of medicine out there to help make it more tolerable.
Yeah, most of it's over the counter now too, but also things change, don't they, with allergies? I mean, there was a time when I wasn't allergic to anything, and then I had some symptoms of things and went in for one of those allergy tests, and suddenly I had developed a couple of pretty severe allergies. So it can change, apparently.
Well, your immune system is responsible for your allergies. It's essentially an abnormal or aberrant response of the immune system to a particle in the environment, whether that's smoke from a fire, whether it's pollen from a tree or mold. Your body senses that as a foreign invader and then sets off this cascade of inflammatory cells that then make you feel bad. About every 10 years, your immune system kind of resets itself, and there's an opportunity there to unfortunately develop allergies you may have never had before.
Yeah, it may not be a bad idea to get that checked with your doctors out there. Dr. Jeremy Silver, always a pleasure to have you with us on the show. Dr. Silver, of course, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern Medicine's Kishwaukee Hospital. Doctor, have a great week and a great Sunday. Appreciate you joining us.
You as well, Dean. Good talking to you.